Welcome to the Climb Podcast. I'm Lynn Robbins. Joining me in the studio today is Dr. Trish Krydek. Trish and I will be discussing how to use teaching scripts to enhance learning. Dr. Krydek is a professor of medicine in the Division of Pulmonary Critical Care and Sleep Medicine at the University of Washington School of Medicine. Welcome, Trish.
Thanks, Lynn. It's great to be here.
I'm anxious to get started because I've been curious about teaching scripts. So maybe you could help me understand what a teaching script is and maybe how you use it.
Yeah, so I think people might use the phrase teaching script differently in different settings. So the way I think about a teaching script is a map of how I would address a small content chunk that I want to teach in a lot of different clinical settings. It might be on rounds, it might be after rounds, it might be when I have a little bit of time with a couple medical students to go over, that I've pre-thought about what are the key one, two, maybe three at the most take-homes. How am I going to walk the learners through that content? And for me, a lot of times, it's also just mapping it out, how that would look if I drew it on a board or wrote it out on a blank piece of white paper so that it kind of looks the same each time that I go through that content. So I think of it as my regular approach to a small nugget of clinical content that I'm going to teach repeatedly to different types of learners that I'm going to encounter as I go about my day in the clinical setting.
Huh. And so do you actually have like a physical piece of paper that you carry around with yourself, or is this something that you have all in your head?
So I think it's really helpful, at least the first time, to map it out, to write it out. So either that's taking a note card or a full piece of paper and mapping out how it would look as I drew it or walk through that content with the learners. And I'm a big whiteboard person, so even if it's one or two people, I might jump up and use a whiteboard. And it's the way I think my whiteboard's going to look each time I do it. So do I carry a stack of 3x5 cards in my pocket? No, I don't. I think you could. I think it's really helpful as you're starting to build a repertoire to have them. And you might look at them before rounds, or you might look at them before you go do a teaching session so you have it. Or if you're going to talk to a larger group, you might bring it with you. But I probably don't have them all in my back pocket. I do think having something tangible and written out is a good place to start. And then when it's time number 127 that I've taught it, I don't need the card anymore because it's become my script. I know the script. It's going to be the same pattern. It's going to be the same board, and it's going to look very similar. Now, one caveat to all of that is the whole point of it is to be interactive. So while it's going to look similar each time, and I'm going to cover the key couple of learning points each time, my hope is that with a script, it's also a back and forth with the learner. So the discussion is going to be different, but my take-homes and my approach to it is going to be the same.
Yeah, I was wondering about that because it seems like I could imagine getting some pushback if I told somebody to use a teaching script. They'd say, well, I like to be really innovative, or that'll constrain me, and don't you think that's a problem? But
yeah, so I think you do want people to be innovative, but I think the innovation comes in saying, okay, I want to teach about the basics of peak and plateau pressure on the ventilator. I teach that all the time to nursing students, to medical students, to fellows, to residents, to my peers occasionally. And so my creativity or my innovation comes in, how am I going to make that clear to people? And then I'm going to structure my thinking so I can make it clear to people. And then it's going to be different each time because I'm going to be interacting, but the approach is going to be similar so that I kind of have a rhythm to that. So I think the script, the reason I don't usually use script, I use the word map, is because I don't think it should be scripted and that you have lines and you say this and then you say that. But you do want a roadmap of how you're going to get through whatever material you're teaching so you can kind of guide the learner through that, and you can guide yourself through it as you become more and more experienced in teaching it.
So the art might be in knowing how to adjust that script if you're teaching a first-year medical student or a nurse or a resident.
Absolutely, okay. Right? So you still might say, well, it's really important that they have these two or three take-homes, but my approach to building to those two or three take-homes might be different depending on the experience of the learner, the background knowledge of the learner, who they are in the clinical rotation, like is it day one versus day 30? It could kind of vary based on that.
What determines which teaching scripts you have at the ready?
Well, I think it's basically driven by what's the clinical content that you see all the time. So I'm a critical care doctor. I'm a pulmonary critical care doctor, but I'm really mostly a critical care doctor. So I see patients with shock all the time. So I have a script about shock. And I see people with respiratory failure all the time. So I have scripts about respiratory failure and the ventilator. If you're a general internist, there's definitely a handful of things that are in your wheelhouse that you see all the time. Mm-hmm. So management of diabetes or management of a patient who's on two antihypertensives and you're thinking about a third or whatever those things are that I think we could all as physicians say, I see this a lot, and these are the moments when I'm going to want to teach something about it that you develop those scripts for.
So when you start out developing them, do you ever have your peers review them?
So I think it's less likely that I have someone review the actual map or script that I've come up with this caveat. If I teach it using a whiteboard, number one, I think the best sign that you've done a good job with that is somebody comes up and takes a picture of it and says, oh, I want to capture what you've mm-hmm. put on the whiteboard. But I'll also take a picture of it and look at it myself afterwards and say, did this kind of hit what I wanted to do? And I might share that with a peer and say, you know, does this work? I think I probably am more likely to go over it with someone when it doesn't work, mm-hmm. right? Like, oh, I was trying to convey these three concepts quickly on rounds and this didn't work. How do you approach this? Maybe that's how I would do it, but I wouldn't say it's like a peer-reviewed kind of thing. Like, I'm not running it by most people most of the time. I do think it's a really nice concept that as different levels of learners start to create scripts, so a resident might start making some scripts to get more comfortable teaching on rounds, or fellows start to do that, or junior faculty. I think it's nice to ask someone more senior to say, does this approach look reasonable? I think once you get to a certain level, you're probably less likely to do that in general. Mm-hmm. But I think that concept of kind of walking through it is still good.
Does everybody have to create their own teaching scripts, or is there a resource?
I have some fellows who've used Evernote.
Oh, yeah.
And use Evernote to put in a map. And then they put in a couple references that they have. And then they share those packets of a map plus some references. Or they sometimes make a one-page sheet that they'll email out to the learners that highlights it. And then they share it with each other on Evernote. So I do think that as we talk about teaching scripts more and putting together these chunks of content, there's different ways that people are sharing them.
So for somebody who's never heard a teaching script, is there one that you could pull out of your hat?
Sure. So I'll use the one that I talked about before, about peak and plateau mm-hmm. on the ventilator, which I know is not a space that you spend a lot of time talking about or thinking about. So when I teach about the ventilator, there are some waveforms on the ventilator. And so I think pretty much every time you're in the ICU, you're going to go and see a patient who will be on a ventilator, and you have to start getting people comfortable with that. So when I first talk about the waveforms on a ventilator, I focus on the pressure. So my script is focused on how do you read the pressures. And the key take-homes that I want people to understand is one pressure they have to know is a peak pressure, another pressure they have to know is a plateau pressure, and understanding those two types of pressures helps you distinguish between a compliance problem of the respiratory system or a resistance problem. Those are the three take-homes. And that's up in the kind of, if I was making a board or a white piece of paper or a note card, I'd put those three points up mm-hmm. in the right upper corner. And then I draw the same picture every time of that tracing. And I draw every time how you get a plateau pressure, and we talk through how you do that. And then I walk through what does resistance mean, what does compliance mean, and how can I distinguish between those based on the tracings of those two different pressures. And so I have the same pictures that I draw pretty much every time I teach this, ranging from, like you said before, a nurse that's just starting in the ICU to the fellow. And I use the same kind of equations or math, because it is the same equations and math, and I draw them out in the same way. So every time I go over that content, which I might do on a piece of paper, sometimes in the ICU I do it on the window or the door that's glass, because I can draw on it with a dry erase marker. But it looks pretty much the same every time I do it. So that's my teaching script about peak, plateau, mm-hmm. compliance, and resistance. And I've prioritized, what do I want to make sure that the learner takes home with them? It's a small chunk, right? So it could be a chunk that I put into a bigger talk, but that same chunk could be just 2 minutes on rounds, mm-hmm. or I could build upon it for 10 minutes post-rounds. So it's kind of variable based on the space and the learners.
And so is it usually, do you pull your teaching script out based on a trigger from a learner, or is it, do you say to yourself, okay, today I need to cover, or is it a little bit of both?
I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, I think the reason to build up a library mm-hmm. of teaching scripts is because for a lot of us, in real flow of clinical care with learners, we're going to hit those content points and we might say, oh, let's pause right now and talk about it. You know, I'm on rounds and we have 5 extra minutes, so I'm going to teach about this on rounds right now. Or it could be that I'm going to say, oh, we saw this today, and so when we do a teaching session in the afternoon at 2 o'clock or we do post-clinic conference, I'm going to pull out that script. I think both of those are linking it to the actual patients you're seeing, which I think is the place where teaching scripts are most useful. It's not to say that you might not use your scripts because you say, well, by the time someone finishes this clinical experience, we should have talked about X, and we haven't talked about X, so now we're going to use my script to talk about it. I think that happens too. But I think the true utility is I'm seeing this happen in real time in my clinical experience, and either in the flow of that care moment or kind of immediately surrounding that moment, you know, after rounds, after clinic, end of the day, whatever, I'm going to use that moment to use the script that I've created.
And so it sounds like also teaching script allows you some leeway in controlling the length of time that you're teaching.
Absolutely. It's not a PowerPoint presentation with 60 slides or a PowerPoint presentation with 10 slides. It's concepts and a map of how I might talk about those concepts, which I could elaborate upon if I have more time, or I have a learner who's more sophisticated and I want to take it to the next level, or I could slow down because the building blocks aren't there yet. But it's super flexible in terms of my time for teaching, who the people are that I'm teaching, and the clinical scenario that's unfolding in front of us.
Have you ever asked your learners to create a teaching script for you in the moment so that you can assess their understanding of something?
I've never done that in the moment. The place where I've asked people to do that, because I think you probably would agree, there's nothing like teaching a concept to prove that you understand it. Mm-hmm. So in my world, the place where I do that most commonly is with fellows. So fellows are going to be teaching to residents or students. And so my request to them might be, can you show me what your script is going to be to cover this content, whether it's going to be on rounds or, you know, pre-rounds teaching conference, to walk me through it. Or, you know, I teach in the first year medical school course that's focused on respiratory physiology, and we teach with a fellow. Mm-hmm. And so when we do small group teaching, the fellow that I partner with, I might say, for this case that you're going to go through, let me see what your script is for how you're going to address this concept or that concept that comes up in those cases. How are you going to use the board? Mm-hmm. What are you going to prioritize as your example? So sometimes in that situation, but less likely in the kind of real time, we're seeing the situation, hey, can you come up with a script to respond to this? It's more like giving them time to think and plan about it. The nice thing about teaching scripts is you can tweak them and you can start to build a collection of them. And as you keep teaching and keep taking care of patients and keep working with different learners, you can keep building a array of scripts that you're going to become more and more comfortable with. So it's a nice expandable set of teaching pearls that you're going to use as you continue to interact with learners.
So thanks for coming in today, Trish, and sharing with us the way that you use teaching scripts and for suggesting the ways that other people might begin to incorporate teaching scripts into their own teaching repertoires.
Well, thanks, guys.
We hope you enjoyed this Climb podcast on how to enhance your teaching by using teaching scripts. Check out the other podcasts in this series for helpful tips on how to teach effectively and efficiently in busy clinical settings.